हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। ओके सो ब्रह्म संहिता yeah, now we're on verse 31, the third of the third verse of the, you know, you could say like the opening of the Brahma's prayers. Alola Chandra Kalasad Vanamalya Vamsi Ratnangadam Pranayakeli Kalavilasham Shyamam Tribanga Lalitam Niyataprakasham Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, around whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyamasundar is eternally manifest. So here in the footnote, it mentions that the Alola Chandrika. Chandrika can also mean the eye of a peacock feather, that the you know, that the garland has nice peacock feathers in it. And also it can mean, or just means he's wearing a nice garland and he has a nice peacock feather. Or it can also refer to a kind of jasmine, you know, one of these nice white, I think there's 15 kinds of jasmine, so this Chandrika would mean one of them. You know, like that. So in any case, then.
Mike, yes.
Okay. This verse describes the quality of Govinda's loving interactions with his devotees. Jiva Goswami emphasizes that Krishna is the crest jewel of experts in the art of laughter and joking, and that his pastime is to revel in that skillfulness. That Govinda performs pastimes which are artful, kala, full of playfulness, keli, and affection, pranaya. Amarkosh says, Drava keli parihasa, keli means sporting or joking. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also comments on this verse. In this shloka, the amorous pastimes of Govinda, the embodiment of his 64 excellences, have been described. All the spiritual affairs that come within the scope of description in the narration of the ecstatic mellow quality, rasa, are included in the spiritual amorous sports of Govinda, Brahma Samhita Purport 531. Texts 32 to 35, Krishna's unrivaled power. Brahma has so far mentioned Krishna's four unique personal characteristics, wholly absent in his subsequent manifestations, Narayana, Shiva, and the Purusha avatars, not to speak of the Jivas. Now Brahma explains the influence of Sri Krishna's inconceivable potency and divulges his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the omnipotent, omniscient source of all creation. Not only Krishna's form partakes of this transcendental nature, but also Krishna's abode and pastime arena. The spiritual world will be shown to be the substance, the original root principle, and the material world its insubstantial shadow. Right, so then we have, you mentioned these four qualities. So here is that he's always, you know, has his wonderful associates in that, you know, his loving interactions is this verse. Then the verse before would be the wonderfulness of his, threefold bending form. And then he plays the flute. Does he have, he plays flute. Then he had, oh, inconceivable pastime, or not inconceivable, but wonderful pastime. So I think it's, what is it? Lila Madhuri, then Rasa Madhuri, then his form, Rupa Madhuri, and then he has all his wonderful associates like that. And here's the, you know, I say, yeah, in the transcendental realm. Okay, so verse 32. Does it give all the way through to those verses? Oh, maybe. Oh, maybe because devotees know these parts, so then he's given the verses. No, only up to the next few. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sarujvala vigrahasya govinda mahari purusham tamahang bhajami. So this then describing the indivisibility of Krishna's body. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, whose individual limbs, possessing the functions of all the senses, are forever creating by seeing, maintaining, and annihilating the worlds, because those attractive limbs are made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. In this verse, beginning Angani Yasya, any doubts concerning Krishna's being an ordinary cowherd boy are addressed. So this is from the Dikdarshini Tika. Having described two types of pastimes, in this verse, Brahma speaks of the excellent powers produced by Govinda's most inconceivable energy. Four verses describe this. In these verses, the powers of his form are described. His hand can see and his eye can protect. And similarly, other limbs have the power to accomplish the actions of other limbs. Thus it is said, Sarvatah pani padam tat sarvato kshi shiro mukham. Everywhere are his hands and feet, and everywhere are his eyes, head, and mouth. Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.16 and Bhagavad Gita 3.14. The verse describes how he can use his limbs interchangeably in seeing, creating, protecting, and creating universes. However, he can also use his limbs spontaneously in the multitude of his pastimes. The cause of this particular quality of his form is explained. His form is filled with bliss and knowledge. Dikshashini Tika 5.32. The interchangeability and equivalence of Krishna's various limbs has some interesting and wonderful implications. Firstly, is another reason that mundane sex life bears no resemblance to the Lord's transcendental procreative pastimes, Srila Prabhupada states. We should not understand the process of impregnation by the personality of Godhead in terms of our conception of sex. The omnipotent Lord can impregnate just by his eyes, and therefore he is called all potent, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.26, purport. Moreover, no part of Krishna's body is superior to any other part. Thus, the two lotus feet of the personality of Godhead are a plenary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And worshipping the Lord's lotus feet immediately places the worshipper in the ocean of transcendental bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.34, purport. This capacity also accords the Lord considerable power of surveillance over his creation. This verse indicates not only that the Lord can perform any bodily function with any of his limbs, but also that it can see through the eyes of his Vishnu expansions, or indeed through the eyes of any living entity, and similarly that he can hear through the ears of any Vishnu or Jiva expansion. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.2 purport. Right, so here it mentions that he has through his own form, he can do everything, but he can also see, you know, he can see through the eyes of Vishnu expansions or any living entity. Right. So then when it mentions in, I think it's in third canto, when it's talking about the creation, unless it's fourth, that in the beginning, then Krishna, when he wants to see, then he creates, fire. He creates, the sense of seeing itself, then the eyes. And then like that, all the living entities can see. And then I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes the point of, what did he call that? Drigvishya Vichar. I think that's what he called it. That the point is this: we can see because Krishna is seeing. That if he doesn't see, we can't see. Right? So that's the point, is that whatever we're seeing, it's because Krishna's potency of seeing is there first. So, and Krishna is Paramatma, all these things. So there's no question that he doesn't see everything, hear everything, smell, all these different things. So it's all part of the because everything is him. So then it's all part like this, but at the same time, as he as a person is also separate from all that. So the person is doing all that from these other aspects of being unlimited and controlling all his energies in a localized form, but he as a person is also separate from that. So that's how, even though he is everything, he's not involved, even though it's all by his potency that it works. And so then that's then how the living entity then is being very careful about seeing that what he's doing is done in such a way that it pleases Krishna, because it's not that, oh, Krishna's far away. No, Krishna's right there. Him as a person, as Bhagavan, is far, maybe far away, but as Brahman Paramatma, he's right there. And then if you deal with all his things properly, then one, he's going to be pleased in that form. But two, if you do that out of devotion to him, then Bhagavan is right there also. You know, that's the point. He's near, he's very far away, but he's also very near. So that's the thing, is that these qualities of Krishna then set him apart, that no one else has these qualifications. Right? To some degree, then Shiva can do something more, Brahma can do something more than other living entities. The Jivas then have 50 qualities in a minute amount that they can be manifesting, but not more than that. But Brahma and Shiva then can manifest another 5, you know, up to 55, but then that's it. Then you have 5 more than that, but then a Narayan, then, you know, Lord Vishnu, then he manifests. And any of his Vishnumurtis, you know, as they please, which ones they want to show more, or this or that. And then beyond that, so that's 60, you know, so Narayan is manifest in full. But then for Krishna, then there's 4 beyond that, that these others don't have. So it's whatever there, and it's at all times, all places. Also, he can be connected. He is connected, but I'm just saying he can be aware and interact on that platform. That's how, wherever you are, you offer prayers, Krishna hears, because, you know, you're able to speak because Krishna gives that potency. You know, we're able to see where all these different things. That's why someone can go and look at the deities and not see the deities. Like karmis walk in, don't see anything. You know, maybe a nice flower arrangement. You know, I'm not sure what that is at that end of the thing, and all these other things. Because they can't see, because Krishna doesn't reveal himself like that. And despite the fact that all his limbs are functionally equivalent, Krishna restrains himself from indulging the myriad creative possibilities this presents and acts somewhat normal around his friends. Right? Quote, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that although Lord can perform any function with any one of his senses, in his transcendental pastimes as Sri Krishna, he generally sees with his eyes, touches with his hands, hears with his ears, and so on. Thus he behaves like the most beautiful and charming young cowherd boy. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:42 purport. Right, so yes. So then he's that's because for him that's very nice. The human pastimes is the nicest, because then you have to put in the endeavor, because the others, as God, he can do all these things. He doesn't even just him just desiring it happens. But then when he's doing his human pastimes, then we see is that Then you have to do, so you want to go, so you walk, you know, you want to, you know, get something done, you pick it up, you use your hand, you want to see something, you turn your head and look and all that. And so that way then for the devotees, then it works very, very nicely. That's the wonderfulness that's there, right? So the Vaikuntha pastimes, you're going to have that aspect that he's God. And so he may or may not function in that capacity. You know, generally it's said with his devotees, but still, because Vaikuntha means it's his godly pastime. So therefore, then if he does these kind of things, it's going to be yes, because he's God. But in Vrindavan, we see, or in Goloka, then it's always Krishna as the Supreme Person, as Bhagavan. And in that mood of, you know, that he's Krishna. And so then he's going to identify in that way. It means in Vaikuntha, he's God. That's the identity, right? And others are his servant. That's why you have the Shanta and the Dasya Rasas, and that, because he's God. But in connected with Goloka and its circle of elements, then these are always performing human pastimes. And so means human pastimes means not as a human, but like that it means you do things and walk around and that kind of thing like that. And so then those pastimes, then he's going to interact with the devotees based on his mood of interaction or rasa, right? So that's what he's bringing out. Most beautiful and charming young cowherd boy, because it's going to be on that, what was mentioned that, you know, the verse before about how he's doing, who revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyamasundara is eternally manifest. So he's going to, that mood is going to be there. But it doesn't mean that he's not in control of everything. So he is the supreme, because otherwise someone might feel, no, but, Narayan would be the supreme or this or that. No, you can say Maha Narayan is your highest manifestation of, you know, I'm God, like that, because he's the source of all the expanded Vaikuntha planets and all that. So that param padam means is you have the transcendental aspects of it, it's the topmost of that realm. But then above that, then we have the Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan being manifest in the first chapter of Vyuha, you know, and Krishna in Vrindavan and his personal expansion of the chapter of Vyuha, right? The second expansion is expanding from Mahanarayan, right? It means he expands, Sankarshanu expands the other three. But in the first expansion, that Krishna himself expands like that. That's why then, you know, there's then where you have where, you know, Radharani and the gopis, and they expand into the queens of Dwarka, and Krishna expands as Dwarkadish. And that's why you have then, where we have the play Vidagdha Madhava, then it's about Satyabhama. And so then it's about her coming to the point of getting the permission of Rukmini that she can marry Krishna. Because I think when Rukmini, when the marriage was arranged and everything, then Rukmini's father then made the request that he not marry anyone else, right? You know, unless she says, but otherwise don't disappoint her, right? You know, so the father would want that the daughter is going to feel comfortable. And so then that was the whole point, is that coming about that pastime, how it comes, and then she gives the permission. And then once that permission is there and everything, then Radharani says, oh, why don't we go, you know, this is nice, but, you know, it's nice and it's wonderful, but the taste in Vrindavan is so much better. Why don't we go back to Vrindavan? And so it ends with them going to Vrindavan, you know? So, you know, these kind of assets. So that's that first level that's there. And so then in the second level, that will be for those who see him, you know, see him as God, and it's always going to have that aspect. And then, so even though you'll have a Vrindavan, that Vrindavan will have that touch of, what do you call it? Majesty to it. And so, you know, because he is God, but he's doing these wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, but he's still God, you know, and stuff. And so then there's going to have that slight flavor that there. It's just a slight flavor difference. So it's not necessarily the pastimes are much different. Some detail will have more majesty to it. But otherwise, they're basically the same pastimes. That's why you hear the pastimes in the, you know, the Bhagavatam as they were performed. And that will work for all those who have an interest in worshiping Krishna in Vrindavan, well, you know, no matter what the sampradaya. But then we see specifically with Lord Chaitanya and the Gaudiyas, then that opens up Krishna in Braj of Vrindavan. That's why we don't just say, I mean, in general, we'll say Vrindavan like that, you know, or we can even just say in generally Goloka like that. But then when you get into it, no, there's Braj of Vrindavan. Right, and so then that which is connected there, that aspect of Goloka. So there's Gokul and Goloka, because that'll have that touch of majesty. But then you have after Mahanarayan, then another section where it's more of a touch of majesty. You know, it'll be based on that. It'll have more of that aspect to it. No, it still has the sweetness because it has all the five rasas and that, and you know, you get that pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. You know, and all these kind of the greater Goloka, you know, like that. Okay, because there's more taste. Because see, being God is He is God, and so for those who appreciate that and want to worship in that Him, that flavor. Then that opportunity is there, and so therefore you have Vaikuntha, and then you know you appreciate some of the sweetness. So then there's Mathura and Dwarka, so you can appreciate something more there. But so it can go in and out of that. Generally, it'll stay in the aspect of sweetness in Goloka, but now and again it goes into the majesty. But when it does, then the devotees there, because there is that mix, then they tend to also switch out of sweetness into majesty. You know, and then Krishna by Yoga Maya has to cover again, and so then they go back into the sweetness aspect. But in Braj, it's always sweetness. There's no, we see is that you have to cover them with Yoga Maya or whatever it is. Even you show the majesty, it's kind of like, do I have a little indigestion for breakfast? Is that what's going on here? And I'm seeing things weird and stuff like that, you know. So it's just a different flavor. So it's just that's who he is, you know. Because there is, like I mentioned, the Vrishnis in Dwarka, that they're going to actually see him as Paramatma, right? He's the Supreme Lord, who's the Lord of the demigods. They've all come down to take part in the pastimes because Krishna. Before he advented, then he gave a message to all of them that he's going to appear, and so therefore then all of the demigods should also appear in the family of the, you know, in the Yadus and all that, and all their different groups. You have Vrishnis, Bojas, all that. They're all subfamilies of the bigger family, and so then they all appear and all that, and so then they see. So we see when there's the Prakat pastimes, they're there. And they're part of that. But then we see when there's the Moshal Leela, you know, when they go to, I think it's, is it Pushkar? There's, I can't remember, they go there and then they have that fight and then they kill each other and everything like that. So that was then all the demigods who were playing those parts, they all went back to the heavenly planets. And then in Dwarka, then that just went into apricot pastimes. So all the eternal associates, they all stayed there. So only who went to that pastime was only the demigod aspect of those devotees, right? Because the original associates of the Lord, then they're the ones who expand out to the demigods. Who's in Vrindavan, they expand, you get Mathura and Dwarka. They expand, you're going to get, you know, the Vaikuntha Leela or any other Leela like this. And so then it'll all come down until you get the demigods. I think it's called Avaranas. You have the thing, you have Radha and Krishna, and then surrounded by the eight Shakis, like that. And then it goes out like this until you get to all the demigods and all that. So it's just a manifestation of his different rings of manifestation of his potencies, right? Each one gets a little less manifestation because you need less to do. Because if you're working around here, it doesn't take much, right? You know, spiritual world is very wonderful, and down here it's a little bit less wonderful. So you don't have to manifest as much to be, you know, like that. You know, you, like I said, you know, otherwise, you know, you get the means. You only need one of those little dinky kind of almost like a dessert spoon to stir your tea. You don't need a storm, right? Like that. So, you know, like that. It just, as it comes down, you just need less to make it work. Yes. What is it?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I have a question because we are in Tirupati, so I would like to know, is Balaji, is which kind of form he is actually, because we always feel it's just Krishna who's playing the flute and everyone
yeah,
is,
but I mean that's
singing
that's
Govinda, Govinda. Yeah.
Who it is, but he's manifesting as a forearm form of Narayan. Right? I think his name there is Srinivasa.
Yes.
Like that. And I asked once why they always chant Govinda. It says because he likes to be reminded of his pastimes in Vrindavan with the cows. So they're chanting Govinda because it makes the, you know, Tirupati Balaji happy. It's not that they're saying because I want to get something. No, it's just like that. So that's why they chant. So you would see is that, you know, that's what pleases them. Otherwise, the opulence and that is nice. But I'm saying that's just, it's just him. Right? He is opulence. He is unlimited power and all these strength, knowledge, and all these things. But that's not what is tasty. It means the devotee recognizes that and praises him for that and serves him due to that. Then it's that service and all that which he appreciates. But to be God, it's, he's just God. You know, it's just like anything he wants, it just happens because it's his potency. So, therefore, the interaction based on devotion to the Lord is what pleases him, that rasa. So, any form is Krishna, but just he's manifesting as that particular deity, just like we see in when Gopukumara went to Vaikuntha, you know, Krishna is there in the four-armed form of, you know, whichever was the particular planet, but, you know, in his Vishnu form. And the pastimes there are all going on in that way. And he you know, he's so happy he wants to play the flute for the Lord. So he comes to play the flute. And some of the people are kind of like, did you invite him? No, no, I thought you did, you know, kind of, how did he get in here? I don't know. I thought you let him in, you know, one of those kind of things. And, you know, then, you know, he sees that it's not, you know, everything's very formal in that. So he goes out and sits in one of the gardens where he's kind of alone. And then I think one of the senior devotees that is there comes and says that, you know, that you have that, you have this mood and that with the Lord, that's fine. But the problem is there's around here, not necessarily everybody can handle that. And then the acharyas, they comment that, that basically you have three kinds of devotees. Those that they have their relationship to the Lord and they can only understand or appreciate others who have that similar kind of mood. And they can't function outside of that. It throws them off their mood. So then they stay, Krishna arranges, they have that environment and they're always there. The second one is they can appreciate, you know, it's all right that someone else has another mood. It doesn't bother them, but they're fixed in their mood and they just go on. So this devotee that came and mentioned this then would have been in that second category. Unless it's Narad Muni came along and explained like that. I kind of think there was the one and then Narad Muni came, but it may be, I can't, it's been a while. And so then, but the third level is one who can appreciate the rasa that others have with the Lord and that, And they become inspired seeing their devotion, but they're going to, but the devotee is going to express it through his own mood and rasa and all that. But so like we see Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows, you know, he's a great warrior and all that. And, you know, it's that of servitorship and that kind of aspect. But he is appreciating the mood of the gopis, the surrender. It's just like, I'm surrendered, but like their surrender is so much better. So like Uddhava, he appreciated the gopis are more surrendered like that. And so that, or you see is that in the queens and Dwarka, then at least, you know, the main queens and that, when they are getting together and having Rohini, then describe, you know, what goes on in Vrindavan, what pastimes and that. They're hearing all that. They're just thinking how fortunate they are and, you know, how special and everything like that. Even though it's a completely different rasa and everything like that. Not completely different. I mean, it's Swakya instead of Parakya, but it's Vrindavan and sweetness. It doesn't have that aspect of mix of majesty. So that level then can appreciate, you know, the others are doing and like that. They're worshiping the Lord and then, they're worshiping my Lord, but in their way. And, but I, you know, if I, you know, I would worship in my way. So if I'm here, I'm going to respect what they do. You know, I'm going to Tirupati, I'm going to get in the line and see, understand that the darshan I get is actually waiting in the line when you can see the deity up to when you see the deity. And as soon as you get there, then they're going to push you and you'll out, you know, and then you can kind of walk backwards and see him on the way out. And so, And that works for them because it may, one, because you have, you know, how you say, millions of people coming, so they have to do like that. And two, it adds to that sense of majesty and everything like that. So it's just, it's that Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. You know, it's like if you're in some other place of worship, that this is how they worship, and they're so, and you appreciate. You try to make it very nice and very wonderful, and a nice atmosphere, and people come and show their devotion, and you know different things are going on, and so then that's appreciated. But you know, it's just that they're worshiping the same Lord, but in this kind of fashion. So it's not that it's you know, and we prefer the way we're doing, but it's not that we can't appreciate what they're doing. Others, it's, you know, like we said, the second group, it's all right. They're doing that, but we just do what I do. We don't necessarily appreciate what they're doing. We just don't. It doesn't distract us. You know, it's all right, but it's not. It means they can appreciate that it's connected to the Lord you're serving. That's nice, but it's not necessarily an inspiration for them. The first one, if it's different, it's it bewilders them. So it doesn't inspire them, bewilders them. The second one, it doesn't bewilder them, but it doesn't inspire them. It's all right. It's nice and like that. The third one, then if it's, you know, a good quality, then they appreciate. If it's less quality, yes, then it'll be less. But if it's of great quality, then naturally they can appreciate what's above like that. So that's going to. Does that make sense? So it's Krishna, but it's just he's not manifesting as Braja Krishna. He's manifesting in as Srinivas. You know, so it's a Vaikuntha kind of mood. And because that's the devotees there. And then Lakshmi, I think is, I'm not sure, there's Lakshmi, there's Padmavati. I guess, I'm not sure if there's one deity, if there's two, if there's a Lakshmi, you know, Bhu and Nila. But I mean, anyway, at the body, you see the two, Sri Bhu, because he's always with, you know, Sri and Bhu. Nila is generally, for most temples, they don't have a deity. The base that he's standing on, that lotus, that's Nila. She's organizing the pastimes and everything like that. So it means Bhu is the Dom, you know, and Nila is where he actually steps. Where his foot goes as a lotus there, that's Nila. And then Sri is always there. So she's always on the heart like that. Bhu is the place where he's going and where he's stepping is that. So even if you don't see them, they're still always there. Like that.
Yeah, it's very ecstatic to, one kind of becomes addicted to to get the darshan of Balaji. Of course, one can feel his presence.
It's very powerful.
One can feel his presence already when one is standing in the queue, like as if he's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has come today to see me? So he's like extremely reciprocative.
Yeah.
So that's Yeah, that's why I said, that's why I feel this is Krishna. I can't really
It
relate
is
to
Krishna.
Krishna. Yeah.
No, it's just Krishna is playing the pastime Vishnu. It's just like Prabhupada gives the example. You have the father at home, he's just the father. But when he goes to the office, then he's the high court judge. So at home, he's just, the family member. But if at, when he goes to the office, then he's, hey, whatever it is, what do they call him, your honor or whatever it is. He has that, all the barristers, all the lawyers, everyone has to deal with him in a very respectable manner. There's formality, there's everything like that. And so there's people that know him from the court, and they ha may have a very nice relationship. They may appreciate and all this. There might be formal occasions where they can be together in that, as long as they're not on the same case, and stuff like that. And then and they had no idea about him, how he is at home with his family and friends and everything like that. So even if you say, let's say the family comes down to the courthouse for something, then they may stand there, the wife will be very stand very formally, the children will be very formally and all that. And the high court judge, he'll be there and like that. And if he's talking to somebody, it's very formal. But it doesn't mean out of the side of his eye he's not, glancing or this or that, or the relationship doesn't change. Yeah. Okay, what was that? Okay, we have here. So it says here, devotee asked Prabhupada why the deity was called Balaji. Balaji, Prabhupada said, means child. Krishna is a cowherd boy, not in his Vaikuntha aspect. Srila Prabhupada, Lilamrita. So that's the point that's there. But you see, is that those, like we said here, is that the Vaikuntha Walas, they're going to see every aspect. You have to appreciate the Shris. See, when you get up, then they'll be what's outside the universe. There's in their mind, there's Parampadam. There's where Mahanarayan sits. And so there is no other. The other Vaikuntha planets, the 24 different Vaikuntha planets, this and that, none of that. There's just Parampadam. Then the Lord, and that's all that goes on there, just the Vaikuntha pastime. Then from Mahanarayan, then the Chaturvyuha, and from the Chaturvyuha Sankarshan, then you get Mahavishnu, and then Garbhadakshay, Kirudakshay, and from Kirudakshay then comes all the avatars. So in other words, all avatars are expanding, all these Leela, everything's expanding from Kirudakshay Vishnu. And so they don't have a problem that they like worshiping, the Lord in this feature of being in Vrindavan or any other aspect, as Nrisinga, Varaha, that. But those are all Leela avatars that are happening, or other kind of Shaktivesha avatar, the different kinds of the Manvanta avatars, all this and that. So means you're going to have devotees from the Shris or from the Madhvas that are going to be, very much into to Krishna Leela, but they see it as Mahanarayan has come and he's doing these pastimes. Mahanarayan is so great, he's performing these pastimes. And so in that way is that they're not wrong, because the aspect feature of Krishna that they're relating to is as he has expanded from Kiradakshai Vishnu. So they don't understand what's above Mahanarayan, that Krishna and Vraja is there first. And then he expands Balaram, then is the Chaturvyuha, then from that Sankarshan comes Mahanarayan, like that. They don't know this. So, so the point is it both are correct. Because in one, you're going Krishna down to Mahanarayan, Krishna, Balaram, and Mahanarayan. And then the others, you're going Mahanarayan, then through the Purusha avatars, and then all the Leela avatars are coming and all that. So you do have both. So they're going to see it that way. So even if he, like that, like in Udupi, then he's also a young boy. He's holding his, you know, he's holding his butter and like that, and he has a churning rod like that. But he starts in the morning just in the Ekayana Darshan. I think they also do it Tirupati, and then they start dressing him during the day, and by the evening time, then he's, you know, Mahanarayan with four hands and the whole thing like that. So they go through all these things. So there's not a problem there. So Balaji, meaning that, because we see in the pastime Srinivasa, then he comes down and there's some pastime why he's coming like that. But as Balaji, then the deity, then like this, if he's in that young cowherd boy form, then that's what it is. But they're relating him to him as Narayana, who has that kind of flavor. So that's why for us, you know, any form we see of Krishna, then we don't mind. These other features are for those devotees of that particular place or line. Does that work?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. My husband had questions.
Hey, Maharaj.
Can you hear him?
Yes.
Yeah, so here is also the Padmavati's temple is nearby here in Tirupati. What is the Padmavati's relation to Sri and Boo?
I'm not exactly sure means, but that I know of, because I think she's Lakshmi,
Yeah.
and then you had Padmavati is another deity connected with him, but I think she's in another place, unless I'm mixing her up with another deity. So I think you have Shri and Bhu. So then,
Yeah,
does
Padmavati
that
is
make sense?
down here, and Sri
Okay,
and
so
Bhu
there's
is
enough.
up
There's
in the hill with
Shri is up.
yeah.
Okay, so there's something, but there's another deity somewhere else, unless I'm mixing them up, because this you'd have to ask someone who knows the local lore of the deities.
Padmavati temple is here. I went some evening here to Darshan on Vaikuntha Ekadasi, so it's similar. Looks like similar age, like the Balaji temple's basic structure, long
Well,
pieces.
any of the deities that you see is they're never going to look older than 16. They're always going to look like a fresh youth. But at the same time, as you're going to get some then where they have them as even younger. Or there'll be a particular form, like you'll see some of the temples, then, you know, Vamanadeva is there or others like that. But he's always going to have that youthful look to him.
No, the temple itself looks as old as
Yeah,
Balaji's.
temple itself looks really like
Oh yeah, no. I know if it would have been established back, you know, before. But what's the history? You'd have to ask somebody locally there to get the whole lowdown on the deities, because there's all kinds of very far out technical, you know, elements of the pastime and why she's there and not up on the hill, and you know, all these different things.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Like that, you know, if you had asked maybe if you'd asked 30 years ago, I might have been able to tell you, maybe more 40 years ago, but now I can't remember. I haven't been hanging out with the Shrees for a while, so I don't remember the stories so. Like that.
Thank you. No problem.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay. Then continue. Krishna's inconceivable potency may pose a challenge to certain naysayers. For this reason, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses this verse as an opportunity to delineate between the realms of matter and spirit, between God and the jiva, a source of confusion to the Mayavadi and materialist alike. Because they tend to be a bit of a, I say, yeah, the materialist means, as you see in Prabhupada's prayer, then nirvishesha shunyavadi, you know, impersonalism and Buddhism seems to be a very essential element of the modern Western way of thinking. And at the same time in India, you also have the same problem. For want of a taste of things spiritual, a grave doubt arises in the minds of those who are enchained by worldly knowledge, right? So it's for want of a taste of things spiritual. They don't actually have a spiritual taste. So because of that, they can't appreciate what's going on the transcendental platform, because they don't have the taste, so they only have worldly knowledge, right? So when you're dealing with Satchit and Ananda, they have the desire to be happy forever, but everything's temporary, so they get a bit pessimistic. The knowledge they have is whatever they've gained from here, and so there's nothing beyond that. They don't know how to deal. They can't access the spiritual. And Ananda is just a removal of pain, right? And so then they look at, so they become very skeptical. On hearing a narration of the pastimes of Krishna, they think that the truth, tattva, regarding Krishna is the mental concoction of certain learned scholars, created by their imaginative brains out of material drawn from the mundane principles. Right, so they're going to be, there's always the thing amongst the atheistic class and all that, the academics and this, that God is, I think it's called anthropomorphic. Concept that, you know, we think of, you know, we're there and we have supreme, so we think of God as that supreme and he's like us and this and that, when they can't understand, well, it's actually the other way around. God's a person, and because of that, we're a person, right? With the object of removing this harmful doubt, Brahma, in this and the three following shlokas, after distinguishing between the two things, namely spirit and matter, in a rational manner, has tried to make one understand the pure Leela of Krishna, obtained by his unmixed ecstatic trance. Right, so this harmful doubt, because these doubts are always there. It's not that it's new. That's the point, is, oh, but it's Kali Yuga, it's all different. No, these have always been there. Kali Yuga means there's more of it, just like, let's say, in a city, you have a regular city or town, and you're going to have some people are not so economically, you know, stable, right? But then if you have an area where there's a lot of them together, means the whole area is just people who are economically challenged, then it's called a slum, right? So Kali Yuga just means where all these slum dwellers all are all together at one time, rather than just being one here and there in the crowd, right? And the other yugas, people are more pious, so there's still always going to be, as I said, the naysayers. There's always going to be someone who has a problem like that. You know, I mean, Hiranyakashipu, he didn't believe in God. He just thought, if he is there, he's just a powerful person, but I'm so powerful, I'm more powerful than him. So you always have it. It's not that it's a new thing like that. So this idea that, oh, but everything's changed, it's, you know, it's Kali Yuga. They're not even looking at Kali Yuga, because Kali Yuga is the last 5,000 years, but they're going to say, no, it's the modern age. You know, okay, a modern age, okay, like that, then okay, then like that. So it's the European, but it's not just the European. It's the, you know, how you say, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Yeah, you know, that we're the ones, we're the, you know, like that. Yeah, London, West London, this part of London, right there, that house right there. Knightsbridge, yeah. And then Buckingham Palace, second floor, room to the back with the view, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the problem comes up is that it's just that we're thinking that we have the mechanical elements is there, then we have the industrialization is there, you know, then the technology is there, and so it's different. It's that, but these things have always been there. Means in the lower planets, that technology, and that's how they run. There's no sun down there. You know, there's no day and night down there. It's just, you know, whatever you feel like doing, you're doing whenever you want. There's no, you know, they don't have their things. And so they're really into the mechanistic kind of element and all that. So it's just, it's not, it's always going on, but they're thinking, oh no, it's different. You can't do these things and all that. It's just that on the lower planets, they're smart enough to know that mechanistics with the Vedic culture, then you get a much better thing. You reject the Vedic culture, then it's not as good. So, yeah. So that's what he's trying to point. So Brahma is saying this thing in the beginning, before me, basically, you can say this is before he performs the manifest, the creation. It's already one of these points of doubt that can come up for the conditioned jiva, like that. So that's why the Vedic literature, oh no, but you can't say that now, or oh, that's old, you have to have something new, we have to revive and all that, and you know, refresh and give it. No, it's ever fresh. So it doesn't have these problems. We have these problems. Krishna, the Vedic literature, they don't have these problems. Right? Yes, Mataji.
So how does it look like when there is technology with the Vedic culture? How does it look like?
You been in the mall?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're nice, bright, never gets dark, never gets light. It's just the same, you know, it's all happening. Everybody's trying to enjoy themselves and this and that. The only thing is they'd be dressed in, you know, dhotis and saris and stuff like that because they just know it's superior clothes. That's the thing, is that they have the piety where they can understand the Vedic culture, the Vedic food, the Vedic everything like that is better. It's just that they're attached to sense gratification, so they push it to the limit. Does that make sense? You know,
Yes.
it's just, like in India, it doesn't mean that there's not meat eaters in India, but the meat eaters aren't going to be satisfied with them salt and pepper and that and boiling, and that's it. They're going to put all kinds of stuff on it. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to eat it with their, you know, nice breads and everything that they handmade, and everything's fresh and stuff like that. They're not going to eat this old stuff that came in a package that said, you know, I say you bought it today and you look at, you know, when it was made, and it was made in, you know, last year, and it expires in 27. No, they eat stuff, you know, because the Ayurveda says eat things within 3 hours. Right? Now, if it's prasad, then it doesn't have that point. You don't have a problem with that. But as a general rule, you're always eating things fresh. So they're going to eat fresh. They're going to use all these Indian spices because they're all good for the digestion and all that. Even you go in and check with these new agey kind of people and this and that, you're going to say, yeah, cumin does this and coriander does that and all these things. And even the Karmis, it means if they're into cooking, they use cumin and all these things in their own Western cooking, even in just traditional recipes, maybe not today. You know, even for many people, black pepper is exotic. You know, salt is all they got, you know. So, yeah. So it's just, they just know that this is the way it works. And, you know, the culture, the respect, all the different things, you know, you respect your elders and all these things. That's just how everything works. It's the superior thing, you see. It's say what you want is no, it's different. We're Westerners. You can't do all those things in the West. It's kind of like, but they do. No, we're Westerners. We can't do. But people come from India and the Orient, live in America, and make more money. Like, I mean, hand over fist more money than the average, you know, that we're talking about this, you know, white guy, you know, double the amount of money. And they have a family that's together, you know, everyone likes each other and they don't hate each other like your standard, you know, families and stuff like that. And they can follow their religion. They can even be vegetarian, you know, like that. I mean, you have, you know, people from Indian background or Indian or, you know, even devotional relationship, you know, connected with the incoming, you know, administration in America that, you know, they're vegetarian, they're, you know, like this. and stuff. And, you know, people ask him about it. I say, yeah, this is why I do it. And they're not going, oh, I don't know. He asked me how I'm vegetarian. Now what do I do? You know, so they just explain. They don't care. And they do fine. You know, so that's the thing. And then you got the vape. That's the funny part. Your two options if you're going to be is to be a meat eater or a vegan. Vegetarian, that's weird. Why would you do that? Why, you know, based on religion and all that? No, it's because, you know, how you say, we have an ideology. So that, okay, then that's why, you know, but so it doesn't make any sense. Does that make sense? So if you want to know, it's like that, you come to India. We see so many Indians, you know, doing their things, but they're complete materialists. And they're totally into the modern stuff and this and that and do. And does that make sense? So that's all it is. It's just the demons down there. It's just, see, in the heavenly planets, they're pious, but they are devotees. Right, so they then are you know, they have a service attitude towards God, but being neophytes, they can get distracted by their position, power, and all that, as we see Indra does many times in the pastimes, right? But he's a devotee, and so, but he's, you could say he's the most pious of the devotees that are, you know, in the heavenly planets. Like that. Above him are the ones that are more connected with, jnana or renunciation or liberation, like that. And so they'll be more pious than him because they are detached from sense gratification. So in other words, those who are pious and attached to sense gratification and are devotees, they're, you know, up to, they're, you know, with Indra and that crew. Those who are have that aspect, and then, you know, it's more than that, means the detachment, then they go up to Brahma, above him into Brahma. Though you will have some in there that'll be impersonalist and all that, so they kind of pull back from the personal aspect. Not all, just some. Tapaloka, you'll find a few. I think, what's his name? He was, a bit like that. No, but he often comes to Guya prayers. Daksha. His prayers to Lord Vishnu are in the, I think, sixth canto, like that. I mean, that may be after ending up with the goat head, and then that didn't work out, and then he took birth again as the I think he's the son of the Pachetas. Yeah, he's the son of Pachetas. And so then and there he offers a samsagriya prayer. So you have that, but on the lower planets, they have the piety, but they're not interested in God consciousness. They're just pious because they want to enjoy. That's why it's said that they demand more enjoyment than they have in the heavenly planets. You know, but at the same time, as they don't have any, you know, night or day or sun or anything like that, you know, so like that. And, you know, and so, and being who they are, they're always envious. So they want to come up and take care because they, you know, how you say the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, right? Like that. So you understand the saying? It means if you stand, you have, there's a fence, you stand on your side, you look at the lawn on the other side, it looks so green. And if you, where you're standing, you look straight down, you know, the grass will be there, but you see some dirt. So it's not as green. That's because you're looking at it like this. You can see in between. Right? But if you look at it like this, you don't see the dirt. It only looks green. So it's the same thing. It's just that they think, oh, it's better. So they're always coming up with the heavenly planets to take over and this and that. And, you know, and that's all. You know, maybe they like this. Maybe they're interested in getting a tan. I'm not sure. You know, whatever it is. So they come up. Yeah, yeah. So basically, as they follow the, you know, so like we see Hiranyakashipu and all that, you know, he's got his whole palace and all, you see the architecture, you know, and all that. He's wearing a dhoti. He's, you know, like that. So, yeah, he knows the Vedanta. You know, he's talking. He uses it for when his brother dies to get the family members to give up the lamentation because, you know, if they're lamenting, then the house is not very comfortable. You know, it's a happy and all that. He wants everyone to be happy. So he uses the Vedanta philosophy to get them to be, you know, to give that up and then become material happy again. Does that make sense? So this whole idea is that, oh, it's different, it's changed. It's like everything's exactly the same. The laws of anything that you want to do to be successful, the laws to make it work are exactly the same. No change, because it's the material world. You know, are we going to say, is that gravity changed, you know, like that? Okay. You know, how you say, you know, when it went from Dwapara into Kali Yuga, then gravity adjusted a bit, and then it went for a while. And then there was kind of a bit, you know, not much happening. And then when the Jews came up, then, you know, it changed again. And then when the Buddhists came up, it changed again. And then, you know, like that. And then when Christ came along, it changed again. And then when Muhammad came, it changed again. And then when they went across the ocean to the Americas and all that, again, it changed. And then the Renaissance, then, you know, it changed. And then at the Age of Enlightenment, then it changed again. And now it's the, you know, Age of Information, they call it. So it changed again. So it's constantly changing, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I drop something and I might have to get it off the ceiling. And boy, is that annoying. You know, I'm saying the floor, you just bend over, the ceiling, you know, it's up there, you know. But the thing is, but then if it goes up, why don't I go, you know, spark, okay, keep your mouth shut next time, right? You know, okay. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's just foolishness. It's lack of an understanding of actually what it's Krishna's energy. They're working as if the world belongs to you know, the people that live here, that it's the West, the first world is who is controlling the world and making all this and that. And it's all as they, you know, as the, you know, American president raises his eyebrows and all other countries that are not first world, and they shiver in their boots and all that. But no, it's Krishna's world and his laws work. You follow them, you get the result. You don't follow them, you don't get the result. It's that easy. So it's not a matter of, you don't like wearing this clothes or that clothes, fine. But don't say you can't do it because times have changed. I mean, so you got to be, there's how many, a million or so Muslims? No, there's, what is it? I know. A billion? Right, and they're all over the world, and they wear what they wear wherever they are, and they don't care. Like that, you know. So it's just like Catholics wear what they wear, you know, and that's just the way it is. And so you can say, "Oh, but we're in the West; you can't do that." They're doing it right there. In fact, they're living right next door to you. You didn't notice that. You can't understand what they're saying, you know, like that. So it's like. Yeah, so we have. There's a problem there. So the point is this mentality of doubting the Vedic culture, doubting God's position, doubting anything, that's been there as, you know, eternally. It's always there. In other words, you have the material world, you have that. Because if you can doubt God, you know, you want to leave God's, like, and come here, then you can doubt anything. Right? You know, so it's not a problem. So these things is, oh, you can't do that. It's kind of like, no, and then you can just say, yes, you can't do it. So it's like the Prabhupada, I think, told a story of I can't remember what was the reason for it. Yeah, maybe it was when the British left, you know, so everything, you know, they left, so everything would have to be, they would sell out, and you'd have to buy out, and they can't sell it for a high price because they're leaving anyway. So you either sell it and get something, or get, you know, leave, and then you get it for free. So I think this one Muslim gentleman bought this factory. And I'm not sure where it was, but I get the idea it was in South. And, then as soon as he came in and that, and he called all the workers and all that, and so many of them are wearing tilak, right? So that's why I think it was South, because they'd always wear their Sri tilak and all that. And then he announced that, you know, it's new management there, And, you get all that understanding. He's a Muslim. He says, no one can wear tilak to work. Right? And so then the next day came, all the people came to work, no tilak, except one guy. And then he called everybody again. And then he asked this one guy, says, why are you wearing tilak? I said, no wearing tilak. And he says, no, this is my tradition. This is my determinant, this is my religion. So if you don't like it, if I can't wear it, you don't like it, you can fire me. And then the Muslim guy turns to everyone else. He says, he can wear tilak, but if anybody else here comes in tilak, you will get fired. Because he has faith. He'll stick to his guns. You guys are a bunch of cowards. He's not. So I respect him. He can wear. Like that. Does that make sense? But if you come because, oh, he wore, so it's all right. No, you didn't have the courage. He had the courage. So that's the point. You have the courage, you can do it. If the government doesn't allow, like there are countries that just won't let you come into their country as a devotee, then yes, you wear something else that it has worked. But if it's you're wearing, oh no, because it's the West, you can't do these. It's like, oh, we can't do Hari Nam, we can't do this, we can't. No, that's not the case. So the point is Brahma is then making these statements to avoid, to deal with these kind of aspects where people think that it can't be done. Like that, but the point is it's can be done. Like that, I'm sure that there are Indian restaurants all over the world that are making money. Yeah, Michelin star, because they can, because it's something unique and different. This tasting and all that, and that. So it's not that it can't be done. And so it's just, you just have to have a, yeah. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. I was just, one more thing I was wondering about this, using technology for preaching. It's like you said, this is a demoniac medium for sense of gratification. Sometimes it feels like going against the current because this medium was not designed for something like transcendental or pious.
No, but the point is the technology or mechanics and all that, they're all just potencies of Krishna. It's just that human beings, tend to prefer not to use them to that degree. Technology, you wouldn't get involved in. Mechanics, then, is used on certain levels and everything like that. You're doing some technical work or some technical building, you're going to use it and all that. But other than its particular practical thing, you wouldn't use it. So the technology and all, I mean, what they had before was so much, more advanced what they're using now, but they only used it, just for how much they needed, and that's it. Because you could do so many more things with just, descriptions in your mind and this and that. And so, you could keep things very simple. The idea is if you can do something more advanced in a simpler way, why do something more in a more technical way that actually won't quite work out? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, the technology, it still works on Krishna's rules on how it works and what it is. And so therefore, if you can use it to preach, why not? It's just like we use the cars to go to a program and preach and all that. Otherwise, if we wanted to go, you'd always have to start walking, a few days before to get over to, do the Hari Nam and all that. So you have camp out on the way there and then do the Hari Nam and then camp out on the way back. And then, yeah, we could do Hari Nam. Yeah, true. You could do Hari Nam and then camp out and Hari Nam. Yeah, like that. So the point is you can use it if it has some use. And if it doesn't, then there's no need. So it's not that we require it as devotees. It can be used. So then those who are comfortable using it, then they use it. You just have to just see that whatever you're dealing with, it has all the problems that go along with it, come with it. You use a car, you do have to put petrol in it. You know, you do have to put oil. You do have to change the tires. They do have rules. You don't have your license plate, the police will stop you. You're going too fast, the police will stop. You know, so all these things, you have to consider all that. And if you can deal with all that and it works better for you to have a car, then you have a car. Why not? And if it doesn't work for you and all that, and you're happy just hopping on the bus and all that, then that's fine also. That makes sense. You know, like I know one devotee, he worked out a thing. He got himself a place to stay. And it was like, it was, if you want to say it, technically it would have been beyond the stump out at Whoop Whoop. I think that would be the proper explanation of where he got his house. Would that have been correct? Yeah, okay. So he had like to get into the city, and that it took him an hour, I think, by train, or even an hour and a half. But he didn't want to drive, because that hour and a half he could chant japa, he could, because he worked at the university, he could grade papers, he could write, you know, things on papers that he was writing, you know, so he could do all that kind of stuff on the train. And I guess when you come from out there, there's no problem for getting a seat, because it's probably, you know, the train starts out there, you know, probably you have to walk a distance to get to where the train is. So the whole point is that for him, that was good. But for someone else, they have so many other things to do, and that it's easier to have a car. So it's just whatever works for you. So it's not fixed that you have to have or you can't have. But his point is that Yukta Vairagya starts with the body, because we have to remember, being not the body, then if we're not the body, then you have to, if you're going to interact with it, then you have to use it in Krishna's service with detachment. Because Vairagya means detachment, without attachment, naishkarmya. And Yukta means connected to Krishna. So connected to Krishna without attachment, that's the meaning of Yukta Vairagya. It's generally taken, Yukta Vairagya means I use anything I want, and that, and then I call it Yukta Vairagya. No, it's used for Krishna without attachment. That's Yukta Vairagya. And so it's perfectly fine. Yukta Vairagya is the standard, right? That's how we function. So we have to understand Yukta Vairagya starts with our body, not it. Generally, it's defined, oh, it starts with Western technology. No, it starts with your body, your mind, your intelligence. You're not the mind. You're not the intelligence. You're not the ego. You're not the senses. You're not, you know, you're not your arms. You're not your legs. You're not your head. You're not the, you know, your nose or, you know, no. And so it starts there. That's used in Krishna service without attachment. Then from your body, then everything expands from there, right? Because you have a body. That body, then you have a place, you know, you have your what do you call it, your possessions and all that, you know, then the moon, then you have your, you know, then you may have your phone or this or that or so many things, right? And it just keeps going out from there. Then you have the street, then you have the, you know, the neighbor's dog barking at you, you know, it just keeps going out from there. So the point is all that you connect to Krishna. So this whole thing is that Yukta Vairagya means engaging the Western stuff or non-Vedic, let's put it that way, be more specific, non-Vedic in Krishna. No, Vedic also, that's Yukta Vairagya. You know, does that make sense? Yes, no? Mataji disappeared? Oh no. Okay. Okay, so we'll go back to. Brahma wants to say that the form of Krishna is all existence, all knowledge, and all bliss, whereas all mundane experiences are full of palpable ignorance. So, all existence, that means anything that you're dealing with, even if it's non-Vedic, is Krishna. His existence is based on Krishna's focus. Krishna. But it's just being something to observe something from Krishna that would the knowledge you have is necessarily useful. And if you sometimes see something writes an article, right? You know, it's not something, you know, hundreds of words or people like that. And it's one of the first way that the master's culture could have, you know, the certain structures right and everything. Fine. But the point is, all other Buddhists other than Sri Lankan, they don't have a problem with vegetarian. Just for people to stay away from that, the time the everything they would take it that off. So the they describe them, they were asked questions, they were trying to answer and give them a synthetic singular answer, and then when Sukadev comes and this type of answer. So that's how you get the history and everything that works out. So that's the way it comes. The Mahabharata, will start with all that. So you think, no, no, it's not about the brothers and Surya. The Surya say, well, actually, the Hebrew people, that's Karna. There's no one is doing yoga. It's just happy that we have nothing else to do like that. Well, I suppose though in this department, I'm just one of the guys that have no authority or power. You know, it's my class or my harass the undergrads. You know, stuff like this. You know, now I do something and he doesn't know what else to do. But he has to honest the man that he's the best. This is that. You know, this is so tough out from his people and how he's left by his mother. And everything like this, then people go, oh wow, that's such a great book, oh you're such a fabulous person and this and that and you know like that. So yeah, so they do that. That's unfortunate, but this is what goes on. Like you have those guys who like Prabhupada said, the guy's just a Baba somewhere and nobody cares. I mean, like, nobody cares. Then he comes up and they, well, I'll make up a new mantra and then preach about it and this and have my philosophy. And then he gets this whole following and all this and that. But they just do that to get the following. That's all. They just say something different. You know, whatever you say, they'll say something different. Oh, you know, like you get the people, oh yeah, you know, it's there and I promise something, but then there's this consideration, you know, maybe Prabhupada, you know, like this and, you know, didn't understand, you know, all these stupid things like this. They're doing that just to get attention for themselves and make themselves authority. And that's it. There is no other reason. If they say, Prabhupada said this and like that, or this situation, I don't understand, you know, like that. So I thought about it. This is what I've thought about, you know, like that. And, you know, either that or anyone else has. No, but they're saying, but maybe, you know, like that, and give their whole thing. It's just the standard, you know, bogus guru 101. You know, it's just, you know, India's good at it. And the West are also getting, you know, they're quite good at it, you know. I mean, there's over 2,000 Protestant branches. 2,000. And that's Protestant. Catholic, I think, has like 200 or something. Like that, and so you know, it's just you know, you just the time, just yeah, no, okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Prema Nanda.